You want to know what time it is? It's time to bring the rain.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Elrod coming to you live from an undisclosed location located somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. Here it is, September number 11 in the year of our Lord 2018. The call-in number this morning is 603-499-7325 or Skype to Skype using Rod Eccles as the code. We're not even going to be able to use our name as our identifier for a phone system. Because how many people have the same name? I mean, there are a lot of names that are really, I mean, even when it comes to famous people, I mean, well, we think only the famous person has a name. Well, no, they were regular people before. Steve, I've known three Steve Martins in my life, and none of them were the famous comedian. I played basketball, went to high school and played basketball on the same team with a Steve Martin. He was nowhere near as funny as the famous one. He was a starting point guard, and we always complained because he sucked. There were two other people on the team that would have made better point, but for whatever reason, the coach wanted him as the point guard, so he was the point guard. I was always a small forward because I could jump. So I was a good rebounder, which is why he wouldn't. But I was a great ball handler, but I was not tall. So I don't know why I was never a center, even though I could jump. But wasn't tall enough even in high school to be a center. But I was a small forward. Because if I do say so myself, the reason why, I could handle the ball, I could jump, and I could shoot from the outside. I was shooting three-pointers before they even started marking the lines in the court for three-pointers. I was a dead eye. That was all due to my father. My father actually played professional European basketball. In fact, I remember when it happened. We were stationed in Greece, and they had this tournament that came through, and some foreign basketball teams, national teams, came through, and Germany and France and what have you came through to the air base in Greece, and the Greek team, and they played on the base. And it was, my dad was so good that the German team picked him up. He had to take his 30-day leave and get a special deferment for an extra week. So he took, 5 or 6 weeks and traveled with he got paid for it, the German team for the rest of their season. My dad was a guard. We were the same height. I could jump higher than my dad. But he taught me how to shoot because he was a point guard. And he had a debt. You give him an open shot, and he took it. It was going in. And he taught me how to shoot. I have a cousin who played, 15 years for Sweden, professional European basketball league. Again, my dad taught him how to play. So I don't know if I ever – I'm only 5'9". I'm just too damn short. I'm not like Spud Webb or something. I can't jump that high. But, my cousin is like 6'4". So there's a difference. I didn't get the height in the family. But, so I played with a Steve Martin And not the fame, unfortunately, not the fame. I've known a few famous named people. None of the famous people with the name, but you know, just that's why we can't use the same name or use names for our identifier, which is why we have Social Security. I don't know. Are we going to go to Social Security? Well, no, we could run out of Social Security numbers too. It's going to have to be some sort of long code. You know, we're going to be like, everybody's going to have their own ISBN barcode, I guess. Is that how they're going to do it? You're going to have one number that does everything for you. Your phone, I don't know how you're going to have multiple lines. I guess you can have sub numbers to it, but are we all going to, you know, not the mark of the beast or anything, people. I know some people are afraid of that, but are we going to have just one single number that does everything? I don't know. Anyway, welcome back. This whole notion that's going on with the Ted Cruz thing, I mean, it's amazing. Some people are trying to tell me, well, it's worse for Ted because he lies in D.C. and Beto only lies in Texas. And that means that they don't understand our system of government at all. Because the point is that Washington, D.C., on a national level, should not be more important. It should be less important than what happens in your own state. We flipped all of this crap. We have. And it's not the way it was designed. It was designed where the federal government, when it comes to, you know, local national matters, that your state was the point that you went to. Not D.C. D.C. was supposed to handle, to make sure everything, that all 50 states got along, that everything was equal, and that we were recognized uniformly internationally. That's what D.C. was all about. It was not about, but all of a sudden the federal government at some point decided to, instead of focus externally, all of a sudden now everything is focused internally. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So if it were the fact that, you know, one is worse than the other, lying on a national level is worse than lying on a local level. No, it's actually backwards. It's worse to lie on a local, because that's what really happens to people, is on a local level. And I've seen some constituents. Now, I don't know how Beto got as far as he did. In the state, just listening to regular people lambaste this guy. And I'm talking, this is news coverage. This is not somebody putting together some sort of, you know, made-up documentary. I'm talking about news coverage that I've seen of Beto as a councilman in the state assembly, whatever. Just different kinds of, not all the same kinds of people. I mean, black people were bashing him, saying, you lied to us and you lied to me. And white people are saying, you lied to us and you lied to me. And Latinos were saying, you lied to us and you lied to me. And it was just terrible. I have no idea how this guy is on the verge of possibly defeating Ted Cruz or any sitting senator from Texas. Just looking at his local record, I don't know how that's possible. I don't know what's going on in Texas. I don't live there. It's not my state. You know, I have relatives that are there, but, you know, they're the ones that are going to have to decide. But me, from the outside looking in, I don't understand how this guy has gotten where he is. Other than, you know, well, he's a Democrat. I get it. But I don't, other than that, I don't, how is it people are still voting for him? If they voted for him in the past at lower levels of government and he's disappointed them time after time after time, how is he? I'm not sure I'm buying the notion that he's on the verge of winning. I never underestimate a Democrat. I get it. But I just don't understand it. I know there are plenty of times, you know, when we can say the same thing about a number of other people and look at all the people that follow them and vote for them and think they're the best thing. I know Hillary Clinton is a big example. I mean, she was on the verge of being elected president. and everything that we know about this woman and know that she has done from even before her husband became president. It's frightening to think how close this woman came to being president. Honestly, with all the machinery that was behind her, grinding away, and everybody knowing what she had done, or was accused of doing, or in the case of Benghazi, not doing. Amazes me. So I guess it's not so surprising that Beto could be in the position that he's in. And frankly, folks, can you do us a favor? In November, make sure that Ted Cruz wins. Because if you let Beto win, do you realize in about a decade or so, he could be in a position to run for president if you make him your state senator? I'm dead serious. And if you think I'm wrong, Hillary Clinton, folks. I mean, there were times. Look, I was wrong about Hillary a couple of times. And she's not going to run, and she runs. Oh, she's going to get killed, and she almost wins. The only person that beat her out was a bigger liar than her back in 2008, and that was Barack Obama. And then she comes along. You know, like, oh, she's not going to run again. Well, it looks like she's going to prepare to run, and then she runs again. You know, and I'm thinking, well, you know, yeah, the Democrats are, you know, they'll probably let her win because it's her turn, but American people won't support her and vote for her. And then she almost wins the presidency. So I will never underestimate the left again in that way. So do not underestimate the power of Beto to do everything that he has done and continue to do it as a senator from Texas if he wins, and then use that as a launching pad for president. I'm not joking. It is what it is, folks. I understand it. But remember, these people do not get into office unless we, the people, put them there. We, the people, have to put them there. And I know there's the whole cheating thing going on. It will, at some point, we are going to get a handle on. We need to get a handle on it sooner rather than later, because if we let the Democrats do it, then our goose is cooked. But we will get a handle on making sure that only citizens vote. It's not going to happen this election cycle, and it's not going to happen in 2020, but we'll get there. I'm confident of that. Speaking of which, we've got this whole thing about Trump. And this is a continuation from yesterday. I mean, this is the sort of thing that the lamestream media just refuses to report on. But small business optimism has surged to its highest level ever, topping a previous record set under Ronald Reagan. I mean, just about everybody is feeling good and experiencing good in this economy. And yet we still have Democrats running around telling us how bad everything is. It's nothing but crumbs, and the tax breaks didn't do anything but help the did a tax cut help you? I know it helped out a lot of people. Simply because, you know what? Their take-home pay was bigger. And frankly, any time a person's take-home pay is bigger, simply because the government is taking less, that's a good thing. I don't care if it's $2. No, you might say that means nothing, but for middle class America, it means a lot. When you are talking about that, there are a lot of people The reason why people get a side hustle is because all they really need to be comfortable and to make ends truly meet and have a little extra is to earn another $200 a month. Can you imagine if your taxes are reduced by $200 a month and you get to keep $200 of your own money that you've already earned? I mean, that's not crumbs. That's huge. So now all of a sudden, because of tax cuts, you don't need that second part-time job. You don't need that side hustle. Now you're doing it, you only do it because you like the extra cash now. Oh, now it's really good to have it. Because now that $200 a month that you were making just to make ends meet, now you can do all kinds of other things with. Or you can just decide to say, you know what? I don't need this anymore. I'm going to spend time with family and friends. Or I'm going to pursue what I really want to pursue. I'm going to start that hobby or that part-time job. Maybe, you know, somebody really likes photography and they're an amateur photographer, but they don't have time because they're too busy working 50 or 60 hours at their full-time job and another 20 hours at the part-time job just to make ends meet. But now they don't have to spend that 20 hours at the part-time job. They can go and spend it, taking pictures. Just in this example. And then those part-time jobs get freed up for what? They get freed up for people who are looking for part-time jobs, you know, high school and college students, which thus brings down their unemployment rate, which it has. All this is based on tax cuts, not what Barack Obama did, but what President Trump did. And we can see the business optimism was at one of its lowest points under Obama. And now it's at the highest point ever under Trump. How the hell is Obama going to take credit for that? You know, there's hardly, there is barely a single policy that is still in effect that Obama introduced. And yet somehow he's going to be stumping on the campaign trail, taking credit for the, and you're worried about Ted Cruz being called Lying Ted? I mean, it's unbelievable about what the amount, the small amount of time that it's taken to transform this country. Unbelievable. I mean, our military is being rebuilt faster than I ever thought it could possibly. They're reforming the Second Fleet, for crying out loud. I mean, this is huge news. You know, but our deficits are still high. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with tax cuts. The reality is that they want to report on the deficit, the lamestream media. Oh, yeah, you know, our debt and our deficit is still going up. But what they don't want to report on is that it's still going up in spite of record amounts of cash being collected in the Treasury. So it means we're spending too much. You know, let me just give you a raw example here. The Treasury collects $3 trillion in taxes from all sources. $3 trillion in revenue. But hey, yeah, let's just spend $4 trillion. Well, that's idiocy. Well, we got to raise taxes. And when we raise taxes, then the income to the Treasury goes down to $2.5 trillion. But we're still spending $4 trillion. And Democrats say, well, we need to raise taxes again. And then the income goes down to $2 trillion. And now we're spending $4.5 trillion because we got tons of people out of work that now need government assistance. That's basically how it's been working the past 8 years. And then we get Trump, and the past year and a half or so, it's gone the opposite direction, but they're still spending too much. So it's not the income that's the problem. And everybody knows this on a personal scale. I mean, you get a how many times does somebody get a significant raise, and what do they do with that raise? They don't sock it away. No, they increase their lifestyle. They increase their spending. So they're no better off today with that raise than they were before they got it. They're still in the exact same position because this is what our government does, but worse. You know, a lot of people back in the 90s and such got into a lot of trouble by overspending. They lived on credit cards. Well, that's basically what our government does. Now, most states don't do that, and they can't do that because they can't print money. They have to live within their means, and oftentimes they have to take some drastic measures in order to do it. And some so-called public services have to be severely cut. And it isn't because of the tax rate. I mean, you get New York, California, New Jersey, Massachusetts have some of the highest tax rates in the country. And yet they still have trouble making ends meet. And what is their old reasoning? Oh, we need more taxes. The people are already paying way too damn much. You're spending too much. That's the problem. And of course, you get some states like New York and California where they're actually losing massive amounts of net population. And what's their response? Oh, we don't want them anyway. We'll just raise taxes on the people who are still here, which forces more people out. So you look at the business optimism, and optimism measures what that means is that businesses are going to feel very comfortable spending and investing in order to grow. They're not concerned about near future growth. They're not concerned about investing, buying new equipment, hiring more people. And that keeps an economy. Business to business spending really is the backbone of our economy. Now, you can say, well, consumer spending, to a certain degree, yes, it's very important. Because it's a measurement, because consumers have to buy the stuff that businesses produce in order for businesses to feel good about hiring more people and investing in the business by buying new and better and faster and equipment to produce better services and products. So yes, the consumer part is very important, but the backbone, the driving part, is the business optimism. Because if business says, well, I don't think anything's going to happen. Well, they're not going to hire people. And those people aren't going to have any money to spend. So this only looks, when you got a business optimism like this, meaning that they're going to, over the next year, that they plan on significantly in reinvesting in equipment or developing new products and services or hiring more people, it means unemployment is going to tank. Which means we're going to run into a shortage of workers. We already have a shortage in certain industries. We're at the point now where we're almost back at the point. We've been here before, and America loved it. But we're almost back at the point where everybody who is capable of having a job that wants a job has one, and a good one. We're almost back at that part, at that point. But hey, the lamestream media does not want to tell you that. All they want to do is just tell you about how bad Donald Trump is, and he's unfit to be president. He's unfit for this, and the 25th Amendment, and impeach 45, and Mueller. They got nothing. And when they got nothing, they make it up. All to keep from telling you the truth.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
We've all heard of male enhancement, But now, there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Sure. And evidently he is the first declared Democrat for the presidency. Now, I don't know when he's going to actually run because his poster says John Delaney for America 2030. I mean, is he going to run in 2030? 12 years from now? I don't know what it means, but that's not what really caught my attention. I mean, it's America 2030. Okay, I thought it was futuristic, but it's a political thing. And this is what they sent me. Join us in Manchester on September 16th. Hear the first declared Democratic presidential candidate talk about how we'll win the next election and make real progress in restoring the American dream so that our future is more prosperous, secure, and just. How is he going to make it more prosperous than it already is and on the way to being? They say these words, but I haven't heard a single one of these Democrats who say this reveal their plan. What are you talking about? We've got less than 4% unemployment. We've got business optimism at its highest level ever. We've got more Americans working than ever. The number of people who are on government assistance like food stamps or other welfare programs is dropping. We have people who haven't had a single full-time job in almost a decade not only get one, but get one that pays above the so-called $15 an hour minimum living wage level. How are they going to get more prosperous than this? What exactly is your plan? Stop with all the speeches and stop with all the pronouns and adjectives and all the other kind of crap and just tell us what you really mean. What are you going to do? I haven't heard a single one of them tell us. And you got Maxine Waters is campaigning on impeaching Trump, not helping the American people, not helping her constituents, but just to get rid of Trump. That's not going to help her, the people in her district. There isn't a single one of them. I haven't heard a single plan come out of the Democrats. What is their plan? I don't know what it is. Oh, I mean, I heard Nancy Pelosi talk about it once, but now she even won't talk about it anymore because nobody likes that idea. Oh, well, they're just crumbs. We're going to take the crumbs back, basically. In other words, raise your taxes. Now, who the hell wants... If you have half a brain and you're not looking for a handout, who the hell wants that? So I don't know what their plan is. They don't tell us their plan. That should tell you everything. They give you a bunch of semantics. Oh, we're going to make things better. Oh, really? How? I'm better than things are right now. I'm listening. Oh, you'll have to elect us to find out. Oh, no. We've been down that road before. No, you're going to tell me now what your plan is. And on the other side, I get Republicans, you know, I support Donald Trump. I support lowering taxes even more on some people. I support this. I support that. That's telling me when he gets in to Congress or the Senate that he's going to be pushing for legislation that Trump wants that's going to achieve these types of things. That's a plan. It's not a plan to say, well, we want to make things better and just for everybody. Well, first of all, there is no governmental system on this planet that will make everybody equal. There is that. It goes against the human condition. Because people are different. Some people are more ambitious than others. Some people are more talented in certain areas than others. So therefore, you're going to have some people that are more successful than others. There's no possible way to take a person that has absolutely no talent. Use a photography example. A person has absolutely no talent with being a photographer is not going to be successful no matter what you do at photography. It would be idiotic to support that person to be a photographer when they They're terrible at it. They need to find something that they enjoy, that they're good at. Everybody is good at something. Unfortunately, a lot of people go to the grave not realizing what they're good at. But that's just the human condition. I mean, I once knew a man who was a fantastic photographer. I mean, he had a photographer's eye like you would not believe. He probably would have made a mint as a professional photographer. But he only wanted to do it as a hobby. His passion was a hobby. He would not do it. He would not sell his photography. He wouldn't do it. There were people that were begging to buy his thing. He's like, no, I just do it for a hobby. Dude, you are a fantastic photographer, and you're a better photographer than you are a business manager. But he went to his grave, not fulfilling and being as successful as he thought he could be, because he didn't want to do photography full time. I mean, great, that's fine. But don't blame the rest of us for it. And don't come with your hand out asking for a handout because, you know, well, I get it. You know, there are a lot of things that each and every one of us don't like to do. And unfortunately, some of those things that we don't like to do, we're probably very good at. I don't know why there's that disconnect. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is in the human psyche that says, well, I'm good at this, but I don't like it. I don't know what that is. Now, I'm sure there are things that I'm very good at that I don't like to do. I probably should be doing instead. I should figure out how to enjoy it. That's for each and every one of us. You know, maybe I suck at this and I shouldn't be pursuing this. Well, let's be honest. We all got to look at ourselves with an extremely honest eye every once in a while. And sometimes when we do that, we don't like what we see, but the truth is the truth. It doesn't really care if you like it or not. So we all, what they're trying to tell you is that they think there should be, everybody should have an equal successful outcome, and it's just not possible. It's just not. So they don't have a plan. They don't have they do. They just don't want to reveal what that plan is because we know that plan is going to return us back to the days of Obama. And there are a lot of people that don't want that. But a lot of people will get schnookered. Oh, yeah, you know, this is great, but you're going to make it better, even better and better and better than it is already is. Oh, great. Then I'll elect you then. Well, stop and ask. Well, how are you going to do that? They don't have a plan. Or what plans they have already been proven to not work. Just saying, folks, this is the same thing, you know, Beto doesn't have a plan. I haven't heard a single thing that he's outside of semantics that the man has said. Now, again, I'm not in Texas, so I don't hear everything. I haven't heard him say anything. Yeah, same here in my state. I hear people, you know, Republican candidates who talk about, well, I support this, I support this, I support this, and they give specifics. And I hear Democrats, well, I support this for, you know, a chance for everybody. Well, who doesn't support that? What types of programs or legislation are you going to support that'll help you achieve that? They won't tell us if they're a Democrat. That's in my state. I haven't heard a single one of them lay out a single solitary plan of how they're going to achieve their utopia. But yet I hear Republicans lay out their plan to achieve utopia every single day. I haven't heard Democrats do it. So I'm just wondering, what is your plan? Is it so bad that you don't want to reveal it? Do you know that it's... obviously, they know it's bad. They know it. because it isn't really going to benefit us a whole hell of a lot. It's just going to benefit them. It's amazing. People aren't asking those questions. Well, I'm asking the question, how are you going to do it? What's your plan? Here is a story from Bloomberg that I got late last night. Continuing on this, you people who are on the crypto bandwagon, man, I hate pouring salt into a wound, but as I said yesterday, at the digital currency type of thing, the barn doors are open on that. Yeah, the world was always going to move towards that. You can't say that, now that everybody knows it, it's going to happen. It was always going to happen. Yeah, they were talking about digital currency back in the 80s. It was always going to happen. It's just going to be the natural progression of it. We've seen it in science fiction films. They called it credits or something. There was always going to be this futuristic movement to digital currency. Now the future is coming here. Is here. However, in its current format, it cannot survive. I still don't understand how people can invest in something that this is, folks, the digital cryptocurrency thing right now is much like the 90s tech bubble. These companies were starting to be valued at ridiculous amounts of money, and none of them were making any money. Some of them didn't even have a real proven product or service yet, and yet they were worth millions and millions and billions of dollars. And then people finally realized, wait a minute, it's all air. There's nothing there. Well, when it comes to currency is only valuable if you can use it to purchase real goods and services with it. Otherwise, there's nothing there. One day somebody says this Bitcoin is worth $1, and the next day, I'll give you $2 for that. Okay, I'll take it. Well, what can I do with that Bitcoin? Nothing, but I can trade it to somebody else for $3. There's no real value there. Like in the tech bubble in the 90s, there was no real value. And I think a lot of people, as well as some governments, are taking notice of this. So crypto wipeout deepens, according to Bloomberg, to $640 billion as Ether, the cryptocurrency Ether, leads the decline. The cryptocurrency bear market plumbed a fresh 10-month low yesterday as Bitcoin's biggest rival tumbled and U.S. regulators suspended trading in two securities linked to digital assets. Ether, E-T-H-E-R, the second largest virtual currency, slumped 11% from its closing level at 5 p.m. New York time on Friday, according to a Bloomberg composite pricing. Bitcoin declined another 2.4%, while the market capitalization of digital assets tracked by CoinMarketCap.com shrank about $197 billion in less than a day. Down almost $640 billion from its January peak. I don't know where these valuations came from to begin with, folks. I'm just here to tell you the truth about this so-called current digital. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that talk about, well, the freedom from government. Freedom from big tech and freedom from big this and big banks. Let me tell you something. When you actually peel the onion layers away and you see the core, all this wonderful cryptocurrency stuff, the massive majority of it's owned by 1%. And these are big players. Mark Cuban is a huge investor in cryptocurrency. What do you think he's doing with it? Well, he wants to make money with it. So he's participating in other billionaires and multimillionaires that are investing in this in this so-called opportunity and manipulating it to their advantage. And there are no laws against it, so it's perfectly legal. Now, you may say it's unethical, but that's irrelevant. I'm telling you right. Look, take off the rose-colored glasses if you are in this stuff. Look at it for what it really is and who the real players are and who the manipulators are. You'll find that you have a few George Soros types manipulating the cryptocurrency markets. And there are no laws or regulations against it or regulating it. So they're free to do it. And it's completely and totally legal. I mean, it is hard to even prove fraud when it comes to cryptocurrency. You know, these so-called ICOs. I got another story where somebody was asking, you know, the monetary markets, the SEC, is this against a regulation or law? And they say no. They have to do very specific things in order for it to be considered fraud. So somebody could come online, issue an ICO, hey, buy our ICO, not IPO, our ICO, because we're going to develop this product or this service. And they could raise $10 million, literally, take it and turn it into real cash, and then disappear and just simply say, well, we couldn't do it. So this was development money that we couldn't do it. And they don't have to pay you back because it's not an IPO. You invested in something that had no assets to begin with. So technically, there were no real regulatory laws broken because there aren't any regulating the system. But this is what some people are pinning their hopes on the future of. It cannot be this way. At some point, there is going to be massive regulation and development by government of cryptocurrency, and these private cryptocurrencies are going to die. And you're going to lose your shirt if you're heavily involved in it. And let me tell you something. The one thing you should be paying attention to is when the big institutional investor, like Mark Cuban, when he starts dumping and selling and divesting himself of cryptocurrency, you know the crash is coming. Pay attention to them. They're not going to lose money, but you will. So cryptocurrency is now at a very low point over a 12-month period, off $640 billion from its high peak in January. Cryptocurrencies have declined for five of the past 6 weeks amid concern that a broader adoption of digital assets will take longer than some had anticipated. Of course it will, because governments have not adopted it yet. They've not embraced it. In fact, some governments are looking at banning it. I keep bringing up China. Can you imagine having nearly 1.5 billion people being taken out of the market? And if you think they're the only ones, you got another thing coming. There's already a couple of small countries that have already banned cryptocurrency within their wall. The little fiefdom kingdom. The worry was underscored over the weekend after the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission temporarily suspended trading in two exchange-traded notes linked to cryptocurrency. And Ethereum co-founder Vitalik Buterin told Bloomberg that the days of explosive growth in the blockchain industry have likely come and gone. The temporary suspension of these products led to an initial knee-jerk reaction, said Ryan Rabaglia, head of a trading at cryptocurrency dealing firm OSL in Hong Kong. But ultimately, it's just another obstacle for the market to overcome. However, governments are not embracing cryptocurrency at this time. Now, understand, governments dictate what currencies are usable within their countries. If you can't pay your taxes with it, it's pretty useless. Because the way governments all over the planet are structured, You must be able to pay your taxes owed in a currency that the government will accept. I know some people love to go down to their city hall and pay, you know, their taxes or their car registration in pennies. Well, they have to accept it because it's in a currency that the government accepts. However, if you go down to you know, your any U.S. city and try to pay your car registration, say, in rubles, they'll look at you and say no. And you say, but it's money. And you say, and they'll say, it's not acceptable here. Do you understand the difference, folks? Not all money is real money. Money is only money when it's accepted by the entity or government entity. Even if they don't issue it. But you can't even, you know, you can't go into most U.S. places, government offices, and say, I want to pay my, whatever bill I have in Canadian dollars. They'll say, no. We don't accept that here. Does a Canadian dollar have value? Yes. It does in Canada. But obviously not here. So does cryptocurrency have value? Yes, in the digital ether. But when you try to use it to buy something real like food, most businesses and not a single government agency will accept it. So it's pretty worthless in reality. You know, I've got some euros left over from my trip to France a few years ago. I can't spend it. If I want to spend it, I'm going to have to go and exchange it at a bank that does currency exchange. And you know what? I'm going to have to give it to them at a discount. I mean, I don't know what it is, but they're going to charge me to exchange it. In other words, if I have a 1 euro, let's say a dollar. If I have a dollar in European currency, they're going to pay me 75 cents for exchanging it. It has very little value. I can't spend it. The only thing I can do is keep it, and if I go back to Europe, I can spend it there and get full value. But if I want to use it here, I can't. Nobody's going to accept it. So does it have value? Not here. I mean, I don't know how else to simply explain this to people. Cryptocurrency has no value. Not a single government entity that I know of, and most businesses in this country do not accept it. So you can't eat, you can't live, you can't put a roof over your head, you can't do a lot of things with it. That makes it worthless. Well, you can't take a gold bar into the government office and exchange it, Rod. Well, actually, you can. The problem is that most local government agents don't know how to accept it, but you can. You could go to the U.S. Treasury, and you want to pay your tax bill? You can go to the U.S. Treasury and pay your tax bill with a gold bar. But you can't pay your tax bill with crypto. I'm just saying. And I think a lot of smaller investors are starting to realize this, and some are starting to realize that there are people who are manipulating the markets, and they were told that it can't be manipulated like regular real currency can, and they're finding out that it's being manipulated just like, if not even worse, than Soros-style real currencies. No, I'm not a fan of cryptocurrency in its current incarnation. Governments are going to have to get involved, and they will.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show. Let truth be told.
as a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders. And now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
See that cute little dog in the pet store window? Chances are it came from a puppy mill, a breeding facility that forces caged, neglected, and often sick dogs to churn out puppy after puppy to be sold for profit. Meanwhile, millions of wonderful, healthy pets end up in animal shelters. This leads to the killing of more than 9,000 by the end of today. But with one simple choice, you can help. Just by deciding to adopt instead of purchase your next pet. Animal shelters are full of amazing pets looking for a home. When you adopt your new best friend, not only are you saving a life, you're taking a stand against puppy mills. When your friends see the smart choice and impact you've made, they adopt their next pet and share with five of their friends, who share with five more. Before long, thousands get involved. Pet stores stop selling dogs from puppy mills, and even more lives are saved. And with your help, we can save them all. Visit bestfriends.org/puppymills to learn more.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.